Welcome to the Words of Life program. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers sponsor this program in order to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Years ago, when a rich man asked my father this question, how much did he leave after the man had died, my father's response was simple, all of it. Today, using James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, Brother David Johnson will continue in our series in the book of James, speaking about hoarded wealth. Before we go any further, we present songs of praise for our Lord. Please pray with me. Lord, we humble ourselves before you in prayer, thanking you for all the blessings that are ours. You have given us great promise of salvation through Jesus. Please use the words of this program to glorify your name and accomplish your will. Please also provide a blessing for all who are doing your holy will. Some of our listeners are troubled with serious health problems, and some are discouraged with difficulties of this life. We seek your healing for them and your peace and your blessings as well. Teaching throughout the Bible shows that your plan is for Jesus to return. We ask that you will help us to be ready for this great event, and while we wait, help us to be effectively making disciples for you. Thank you for hearing us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Based upon James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, Brother David Johnson will speak on hoarded wealth.
It's wonderful to be together again as we look into the Word of God. The title for the lesson is Hoarded Wealth, and our text is taken from the letter of James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. Please listen to the Word of God. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent people who are not opposing you, or who were not opposing you. Wealth itself is neutral morally. It is how people gain it, use it, and prioritize it that impacts morality. For example, riches can have a godly purpose if handled properly, according to Scripture. Consider 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 17 through 19. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. In our passage, James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, James condemns and sternly warns those who misuse and wrongly prioritize wealth. Evidently, according to the very strong rebuke James wrote, he knew some of the wicked wealthy who professed Christianity and associated themselves with the church, but whose real God was wealth. This sin has not abated, but continues in the church today. James, the half-brother of Jesus, perhaps heard Jesus' teaching of Luke chapter 16 and verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So James wrote a scathing rebuke. James chapter 5 and verse 1. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Weep means to sob out loudly. Weep was the term often used in Scripture to describe the person crying out when someone died. Wail is similarly an emotion of great grieving. The New American Standard Bible translate howl. Howl, H-O-W-L, which is stronger, meaning shrieking. Taking together, these two outbursts picture intense despairing, even violent, uncontrollable grief that will be theirs. James then gave the reason for this uncontrollable grief, because of the misery that is coming upon you, referring to those that use wealth inappropriately. The original Greek word translated misery means overwhelming trouble or suffering. That is, the ungodly rich can expect overwhelming trouble and suffering when they stand before the Lord in judgment. Jesus told in a graphic way the terrible judgment to befall the wicked wealthy, speaking of the rich man after his death, in Luke chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. In hell, actually in the original Greek, Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away, with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." Another sure indication of the wicked wealthy who have made their riches their God is the eternal uselessness of hoarding. James chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. "Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days." In James's day, wealth was, for example, measured by the foodstuffs that rotted, by clothing that can be moth-eaten, and precious metals, gold and silver. But does gold and silver actually corrode or rust? In James's day, some physical evidence suggests that gold and silver coinage was not always pure, but contained alloys and could rust under certain circumstances. Or James may have been writing more figuratively, declaring in context in the day of the Lord's judgment of the lost that gold and silver will be useless for redemption, as if they corroded or rusted. Consider this frequent theme in the Old Testament that James may have been alluding to. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 4 that says in part, "Wealth is worthless in the day of wrath." Isaiah chapter 2 and verses 20 through 21. "In that day, men will throw away to the rodents and bats their idols of silver and gold, which they made to worship. They will flee to caverns in the rocks and to the overhanging crags from dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty when he rises to shake the earth." Or Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 19, it says in part, "They will throw their silver into the streets, and their gold will be an unclean thing. Their silver and gold will not be able to save them in the day of the Lord's wrath." Or Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath." Hoarding anything selfishly is sinful. Hoarding by definition means a hidden or stored fund or supply guarded for future use. John MacArthur, Bible expositor, writes, quote, "Hoarding, tragically, is one of the most widespread sins of our time. God entrusts believers with material goods so that they may use them for his glory. Obviously, Christians are to provide for their families, but beyond that, Christians' resources are to be used to advance God's kingdom. Specifically, believers are to use their wealth to win the lost, care for those in need, and support those in ministry. Those who name the name of Christ are not to amass a fortune that is uselessly stashed away without regard for God's will." Psalm 39 and verse 6, "Man is a mere phantom. As he goes to and fro, he bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it." Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 10 through 11, "Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them?" Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 13, "I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of the owner," end of quote. Jesus also warned against hoarding in the New Testament in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, that says, "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. James further vividly described the judgment coming to hoarders, personifying corrosion that depicts the futility of hoarding riches. James declares corrosion will testify like a witness for the prosecution against the wicked wealthy. James even portrays corrosion as their executioner, eat your flesh like fire. Fire indicates inescapable destruction in their final judgment by God's wrath, this being a fearful picture of hellfire. The wicked wealthy's coming condemnation is sure. In the last days refers to the time between Christ's first and second comings. Probably James included this detail to rebuke the rich for living in a selfish, compassionless, hoarding way, as if Christ was not returning to judge the living and the dead. Food for thought. Someone has written this short article. Quote, "People in the United States possess billions of square feet of personal storage space outside the home. This self-storage space is in over 40,000 facilities. According to surveys, the owners of one of every 10 homes rents a self-storage space. And this represents a significant continuous increase over the years since 1995. Operators of self-storage facilities report 90% occupancy, with average rental of 15 months. New self-storage facilities continue to increase in a booming business. As the amount of storage space required by homeowners has grown, so has the average size of the American house. So in America, as the average family size is getting smaller, houses are actually getting larger, and the demand for storage space apart from the home continues to grow." End of quote. Obviously, there can be reasonable needs for rental space, but many are simply storing stuff and paying for it because of overaccumulation. As Christians, we should be more benevolent, conscious of those around us who are in need of many things, unused yet stored away. James went on to write an example of the ill-gotten wealth of the wicked rich. James chapter 5 and verse 4. "Look, the wages you failed to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty." Notice the wealthy here did not just delay payment of wages to their workmen, but withheld it completely. Day laborers in James's day were an important part of the ancient agrarian systems. Withholding their wages was strictly prohibited, for example, by Mosaic law. Consider Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 14 through 15. "Do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy, whether he is a brother Israelite or an alien living in one of your towns. Pay him his wages each day before sunset, because he is poor and is counting on it. Otherwise, he may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin." Harvesters often lacked steady income and depended on each day's wages to feed their families. God's prophet wrote of this heinous sin in Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse 13. "Woe to him who builds his palace by unrighteousness, his upper rooms by injustice, making his countrymen work for nothing, not paying them for their labor." Surely there is a fearful final judgment awaiting those who unjustly hoard even the would-be wages of the workmen in their employ. Justice and wrath await those who defraud, who rob their laborers. James continues to pile on the serious accusations against the wicked wealthy. James chapter 5 and verse 5. "You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter." Living in luxury becomes a vice when a person becomes consumed with extravagance. Self-indulgence as the priority of life in the pursuit of pleasure, above all, is not what God has called Christians to prioritize. Those that live with these priorities close their eyes and ears to the needs of others and to the work of God, living primarily to gratify their flesh. James paints them as an ugly picture. "You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter." They are the hoarding oppressive, self-indulgent rich, who are to be like fattened calves headed for the slaughterhouse of the Lord's judgment and wrath. James was probably aware of the Old Testament scriptures that uses the imagery of slaughtering animals to depict God's righteous wrath and judgment on the wicked. For example, God's punishment of Edom, an evil enemy of Israel, in Isaiah chapter 34, verses 6 through 8, that says in part, "For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in Edom, and the wild oxen will fall on them, the bull calves and the great bulk. Their land will be drenched with blood, for the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of retribution to uphold Zion's cause." Then comes James' final nail in the coffin of these impostors of Christianity. James chapter 5 and verse 6. "You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you." Evidently, these wicked, wealthy, even stooped to the murder of the innocent to maintain their lavish lifestyles. Condemned may imply that these evil rich were using and abusing the courts to judicially murder anyone they deemed a threat to their wealth. In James's day, the unscrupulous rich sought to pervert the justice system and use it against the poor and the innocent. Compare James chapter 2 and verse 6. "But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into the courts?" Indeed, wealth can be a blessing from God, especially according to our God-given gifts and talents, along with our diligent hard work ethic. Wealth should also bring more opportunity to bring glory to God in supporting worthy ministries and needful benevolence, and certainly the Lord's church and missionary action and work. Warren Wiersbe, a very fine Bible expositor, writes, quote, "All of us are grateful for the good things of life, and we would certainly not want to return to primitive conditions. But we recognize the fact that there is a point of diminishing returns. Jesus said, 'Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of these possessions.'" Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the New American Standard Bible. There is a great difference between enjoying what God has given us and living extravagantly on what we have withheld from others. Even if what we have has been earned lawfully and in the will of God, we must not waste it on selfish living. There are too many needs to be met. If you match character with wealth, you can produce much good. But if you match self-indulgence with wealth, the result is sin. End of quote. Every Christian can feel rich simply by counting up all the gifts and promises of God to us that money cannot buy. Certainly, listener, if you need the Lord, you need Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, as your Savior and Lord, that you can receive by faith, repenting of your sin, confessing Him as Savior and Lord, believing that He was raised from the dead bodily, and being immersed, baptized into Him, persevering in your faith.
God's goodness continues as we have enjoyed another sermon from His Word. We pray for your blessing. If you have questions about becoming a Christian, please write to us. To receive a free CD of this program, simply ask for broadcast number 2042. That's 2042. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.